able to see things you never saw before? Would you like to be stronger in the Lord than you've ever been before? Would you like to have your feet settled on the rock more solid than they've ever been in your Christian walk?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory. Would you step into the fire with me tonight? You know, when you think about something that you're fixing on the stove, you know, like if you're preparing something and you want to cook it down, you know, as you cook it down, it gets stronger. You know, you're taking things out. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life tonight, I believe. I heard one phrase in the Spirit, and all I heard was that He said, tell my people, I don't want them to be a pick-apart Christian. A pick-apart Christian. So with that being said, let's go to Luke chapter 6. And let's see where the Spirit of God would take us tonight. And remember, you've done testified and said that you'd step into the fire. You've done said that you were going to see things that you never saw before. You done said that you're going to be stronger than you've ever been before. You said you're going to be more settled in your life than you've ever been before. Amen? So you've come in agreement with what God is going to say to us tonight. Amen? It's yours and mine. Glory. All right. Notice in Luke chapter 6 that Jesus, and you get the thought in verse number 20 that He's talking to His disciples. We're gonna start in verse number 36, but I want to read verse 22. It says, "And He, Jesus, lifted up His eyes on His disciples." Say, "That's me."
That's me.
All right. So He's talking to us tonight. But let's drop down to verse 36, Luke 6:36. When you're there, say, "Amen."
Amen.
The Word of God says, "Be ye therefore merciful." Think about what Brother Corey and Brother Justin were leading us in worship. "Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful." In like manner, as, just as much, in the same way, amen? He sowed mercy in your life, He sowed mercy in my life, and that is the seed that can bring mercy out of our life. All right, verse 37. "Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, that you measure withal, shall it be measured to you. With the same measure it shall be measured to you." Brother Corey, would you pray? Yes.
We know that knowledge one, we need wisdom to know how to use it.
Yes.
And how to apply it. And thank you for that. And we know that we are ever growing in you, and we know that this word is going to help us to ever grow in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for honoring the word. Thank you, Brother Corey, for leading us in prayer. Hallelujah. All right. So, we talked about being made stronger, and we talked about being exactly the disciple that Jesus Christ has called and ordained us to be. And if we're not careful, we look at our brothers and sisters and we do pick apart. We don't mean to. And we find ourselves doing it without even realizing what we're doing. We look at the decisions they make. We look at the choices they make. We look at circumstances, and you and I, we're looking at that from the external, from the outside, because we're not looking at their heart. Only Jesus can look at their heart. And so if we're not careful, we'll be in the place, in the position where we'll say, well, they should have done this or they should have done that. And you and I, we don't know. Because we don't know their heart. We don't know the full impact of what they're dealing with and what they're battling or what they're trying to walk in and all of these things. And so tonight I want us just to take just a moment of time and look at these scriptures and allow the fire of the Spirit of God just to burn the dross out of our life and to make us stronger and stronger. So let's just break this down just a little bit. Now notice what he said. In verse 36, he said, "Be ye therefore merciful." He said, "I want you to exercise compassion." And he said, "All you have to do is just let it be. Let it be." The great thing about the Word of God is that that Word is inside of you. You were blood washed. And Jesus Christ, the Word Himself, He come to abide, to live, to mean, to stay in your spirit. And so you can be exactly what He says you can be because His presence makes it possible. Aren't you glad? His presence makes it possible. So He says simply just be merciful. Exercise compassion. So the next time that you and I are in a situation and a circumstance that we may not understand completely, but we want to say something or we want to move in a direction that would ultimately be against our brother and sister, maybe even in ignorance, we need to step back and say, no, Jesus said for me to exercise compassion. And so I'm not going to take and say that they should do this or shouldn't do that. I'm going to say, Lord, help them in that situation. Give them mercy where they're at, what they're dealing with, where they may be struggling. Lord, move in their life with an extra dose of the Holy Spirit. Bring a word of wisdom. But let me be able to be a pillar in their life instead of an axe. You and I, we're pillars in the Almighty God. That's what we are. We're here to hold each other up, amen, to hold up the will and the plan of God. So He said, be ye therefore merciful, even as your Father also is merciful. Now notice, verse number 37, judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. You know, if we're not careful, we look at situations, and as we try to understand why a person said what they said or did what they did, if we simply allow that to roll over our flesh eyes and we hear things that are said by our flesh ears, all of a sudden that judgment will come. But when we recognize and realize that there is a spirit body inside of us that has all the senses that this flesh body does, except those senses are pure. They're empowered, gifted by the Holy Spirit to be able to know and discern truth. And if we'll come back to that reality, we won't condemn. That word condemn means to pronounce sentence. There's only one God that's on the throne that is called and qualified to pronounce sentence. And aren't you glad tonight that He looked at your heart and He pronounced you innocent? Because of your faith in Jesus, amen, because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has pronounced us innocent. And so we need to be in this place, in this position, where we say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to step on the altar. I'm going to step and let the fire from the altar, those pure things of the Holy Spirit, I want them to come into my life because I want to see some things I never saw before. Now stay with me. Notice what He said. He said, we'll come back to 38, but 39, he said, he spake a parable unto them. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? So he's tying this together in a situation and circumstance. If you and I, if we're in the place where we're pronouncing, we're judging and we're pronouncing guilt, he said that it was the same as being spiritually blind. And he said, if you're in a place where you're spiritually blind, you're going to, like you would in the natural, you're going to step into a ditch. But this is much more damaging and destructive than a ditch in the natural. This is a spiritual ditch. This is a ditch that has all of the demonic activity that would bring bondage and hurt and torment in your life. You and I, we've got to be in the place. Two, we know what the Bible says, that if we'll forgive, you know, we receive forgiveness and we forgive, then we're delivered from the tormentor. I don't want to be in the place in the house of the tormentor. Do you? I've been there, and it's a very hard thing. Matthew 18 goes into great detail in that, another sermon for another time. But I want you to see, he said, can the blind lead the blind? So tonight there might be some things that God's wanting to do in my life and through my life that I can't even see. Because I've looked at a brother or sister, I've looked at a situation and a circumstance, and I've judged that, and I've already pronounced sentence, and because I have judged them in that way, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus out of his mouth, he said, the measure that I judge somebody is the measure that he has to judge me. Amen? And so what that's doing then, when I judge somebody with my natural understanding, my natural, we're not talking about being a fruit inspector like in Matthew chapter 7. We're talking about, you know, just completely by our likes and dislikes, our understanding in the natural. When we do that, all of a sudden, that's all that we can see. That shuts off our ability to see what God wants to do in us, through us. Come on, you've got a destiny tonight, amen? God wants you to be able to see that you're destined to touch a lost and dying world. You're destined to lay hands on the sick and see them recovered. You're destined to open your mouth and the Holy Ghost fill you with words of wisdom that will confute every lie of the devil and bring people out of the grasp of hell and bring them into the kingdom of God. Amen? That's what Jesus has for us. So it's so critical that you and I walk in this place of just letting the Spirit of God bring truth continually. Can the blind lead the blind? The answer is no. You're going to fall into a ditch. And so tonight there may be some situations where you've been judged by somebody. And there's a hurt there. There's a soft place. Well, I encourage you, by faith, give that to Jesus and forgive them. Just by faith. We're not talking about anything about feelings. It may not change the way you feel right now. But I promise you, in the long run, it will. Because God will be able to bring a healing to you. Okay, so we see that if we make this confession, if we step on the altar and let God change us, we've then seen that we can see something that we never saw before. Let's move on. Look what he said in verse 38. We'll go back to where we were at. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. So I not only can I see some things that I never saw before, but I'm going to recognize and realize that if I will give this grace, this mercy that God gave unto me, that it's going to open up an understanding that God has gave me more mercy than I will ever, ever need. I'll never get to the end of His mercy. I'll never get to the end of His grace. And so I'm in the place and the position because I'm willing to do what He tells me to do, and I'm willing to give somebody that extra. You know, Jesus told Peter, He said, you know, 70 times 7, right? In one day. Peter said, hey, you know, am I doing good if I forgive 7 times? And Jesus said, no, I tell you 7 times 70. And so, in other words, you and I, we have no legal right to hold something against somebody. Because Jesus, if He would forgive me an infinite number of times, then in turn He's going to empower you and I to be able to forgive somebody else, right? Now what that's going to do, that's going to bring a continual flow from the throne of heaven in your life, in my life, to be able to walk in this mercy. See, when we walk in mercy, it empowers us. See, if you're surrounded by this sentence that you pronounced on somebody, that sentence determines your ability to reverence God, to receive from God, and then to be able to give out from God. But if you're walking in this place of forgiveness and grace, and it's all by the mercy of God, then you're in the place where the Spirit of God is giving into you everything you need for every situation of life. Amen? All right, notice what he said. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. You know this verse very well. Shall mankind give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured or it shall be meet back to you. Now I want you to think about that just for a second. The thing that you need tonight the most is going to be the hardest thing that you have to give. But when you give the thing that you need the most, and it will definitely be an act of faith, the hardest thing that you have to give, then God is going to give you so much more that you cannot contain it. See, that's why the devil works in the avenue that he does. He knows that he can't keep you from being blessed, but he can keep you and I from being blessed at the measure that God wants to bless us in. Thank God for blessing. But I don't want just blessing. I want to be so blessed that you and I, that we provoke others to jealousy, that we point them to a God that is more than enough, a God that is willing, a God that is able. Amen. I want Him to be able to pour out of our lives. See, I can never give what I can't receive. So it's so important tonight that I'm in the place and the position that I recognize in my temple there is a flow of the Holy Spirit. And these little things of unforgiveness and the judgmental attitude and all of those things, they cause the channel, the flow of God to be hindered. But when I step up on the altar and let the fire of God burn those things out of my life because I give them to Him, then I have an unrestricted flow. God's given me all I can give out. Amen. I want to give unto the Lord. Amen. Because I have got something to do. You've got something to do. We've got a destiny tonight that's just getting started. Amen. All right. Now notice what he said. Go back to verse 40. He said, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Now think about that. The Bible says if I will just take Jesus at his word and I will let him complete me, I will let him be the answer to every question I have. I'll let him be the feeling of every desire of my heart. Psalms 37, delight myself in the Lord and he shall give me the desires of my heart. Amen. That's who the God that we serve, that's the kind of God he is. But if I will do that, look what he promised me here. He said I could be like him. See, that makes the religious mad. They say, I dare you. No, I can be like Jesus. You can be like Jesus tonight, amen. Not only can you and I, we are supposed to be, amen. What a promise. Now, he said, all I had to do was to be perfect. Now, we read that in the English and it gets us all bent out of shape. It gets us a little nervous and gets us all in a place where we've heard that word and we think, well, that's something that is unattainable. That's something that just doesn't fit me. But this word, to be perfect, it's from a Greek word, katerizo, and it simply means to mend and to be put back into place. It's a word that Luke, being a physician, that he would use as if Brother Donnie had a joint out and he popped that joint back in. See, that's what happened when you got saved. When you got born again, you were made perfect. You were put back in the many-membered body of Jesus Christ and you're held together by the unity, the bond of peace. Amen? The peace that God has gave us. Okay, let's take just a side journey here just for a second. Hold your place right here. And let's read a verse. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Somebody needs to hear this. You are held together by the bond of peace. Look at Romans 5 and 1. Romans 5 and 1. Now, therefore, being justified by faith, say, I'm justified. I'm justified. Then you qualify for this verse, okay? Therefore, being justified by faith, we someday when we get to heaven, someday when I get holy enough, right now, Sister Michelle, right now, we have what? With God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You have peace. You have peace. And so the only thing that's keeping that peace from flowing in your life and the way and the level and the ability that God would have for it is if maybe we need to step on the altar. Maybe we need to just let the flow be a little stronger, a little purer, a little more power because we've emptied out this channel. Amen? Say, I've got peace. I've got peace enough to give somebody else. Amen? God's not mad at you. Say, God's not mad at me. Come on now. Hallelujah. See, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, your Lord, my Lord, our Savior, He took all the wrath of God on Himself on that cross. Amen. There's no more wrath for you. Glory. Okay. All right, let's go back. Luke chapter 5. Or Luke chapter 6, sorry. And notice what he said. in verse 41. And why beholdest the mote, the splinter, that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam, the log, that is in thy own eye? Either how can thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull the mote that is in thy eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye? He said, Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thy own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly, you shall recover fully, to pull the mote out that is in thy brother's eye. So God wants us to be able to see some things that we've never seen before. He doesn't want you and I to be concerned about falling in the ditch, stepping into some things that would enable and empower the devil to be able to work hurt and heartache in our life. And so we've got to recognize here that he's talking to his disciples, and he's letting them know that there may be some things that we're not seeing, because little things in our vision, little things in our attitude, little things in our understanding. And so he's wanting to help them just like he wants to help us tonight. And he says the way that you do it is that you start making the confession, Jesus, I'm going to be made perfect. I'm your disciple. And you said that as a disciple, I could be just like you, Lord. And you start saying that, because remember what the Holy Ghost said this morning, what you confess is what you possess, right? And so you're going to possess the truth of the Word of God. Now let's see this one more time now. Notice what he said. He said that the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be like his master. So let's think about what it would be like to be like Jesus. What would it be like? It would be in a place, in a position where no matter what's happening in your life, The Word of God said that he was always on the right hand of the Father. Well, that's where you're at tonight. Said that Jesus, out of his own mouth, he said, Father, I know that you always hear me. God always hears your prayers. It says, Jesus said, Father, I know that you'll never leave me. You got the same promise. What's it like to be like Jesus? What's it like to be perfected? What's it like to be put in place? It's just being what God has called and destined you and I to be. Amen? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. In Hebrews chapter 13... for sake of time, start at verse 20. Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, hallelujah, say that's me. Come on, you're alive. Glory. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, verse 21, make you perfect. Say, Jesus is making me perfect. Come on, he's putting you in joint. He's putting you in the right place in the body of Christ. He's putting in your calling. He's putting you with an understanding where you can receive his gifts to fulfill that calling. He's got you in the right place at the right time. He is the one who provides for you all your needs. Amen? And you're in the place, in the position where you can receive the supernatural provision and promise of God at any time, at any place, because you're in God's place. Amen? I believe that, don't you? May he make you perfect in what? Every good work. You can do anything that God asked you to do. Anything. You can do it, because he is going to what? He's going to put you in joint. He's going to make you have the right connections at the right time. He's going to make you have the right provision where you can give out of the fullness of the abundance of Jesus Christ. God's not concerned about this economy. God's not concerned about what's going to happen next. He's up in the heavens, Psalms chapter 2, and he's laughing at his enemies. Come on now. But you and I, we're sitting in the heavenlies with Jesus. We need to learn how to laugh by the Spirit too. Amen. Amen? An act of faith that disrupts. When you realize that when you laugh in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, you know what happens? all the demonic activity, their ability to communicate gets disrupted. They can't communicate. The plan that they're trying to orchestrate and bring against you and I, because when you're laughing in the spirit, it's a form of praise. Because it takes praise to be able to laugh when you're in this body and you're in situations and circumstances. Come on. But you're trusting in God more than what you're feeling in the natural. And it's praise to our God. I want the devil to be confused, don't you? I don't want him to be able to hear what God's saying to me. I don't want him to be able to understand what God's going to do through me. Come on, great things. All right. He said, may this, because of the blood of Jesus, may this God of peace, because of Lord Jesus, make you perfect in every good work to do his will. I don't know about you. I don't know how many times I talk to people and they say, if I only knew the will of God. See, that's a lie from the pit. You know the will of God. I know the will of God. Because Jesus Christ has put us in joint. He's made us perfect. He's put us in that place. Amen? Glory. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Now, think about this. The Bible, out of the mouth of Jesus, he said, when I go away, it's expedient that I go away from you. I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you somebody that's just like me. And he's going to be your helper. Okay, now think about this just for a second. The Holy Spirit is your helper. And right here we have this promise that the work that you're going to do, he's going to do it inside of you. So God is working a work in you. The Holy Spirit is coming upon you to help you. And you're going to be able to do what's well-pleasing. Not just pleasing. Well-pleasing in God the Father's sight. Now, how many times have you talked to somebody and they said, I just can't ever please God. Liar. Not them. The devil has lied to them. The devil has hurt them and he's got them cowered down and he's got them afraid to do anything. And you and I, we've got to be a pillar in their life, help them step up on the altar and let them see they've been made perfect. Yeah. They've been put in joint. They're in the place of the very body of Christ to do the will and the plan of God. Amen? Yeah. Oh, glory. Yeah. And it all happens because we're willing to what? To not judge situations that we don't understand. Right. We don't look at that situation and say, well, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Aren't you glad that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the righteous? He's looking at you. He's watching you. That means that you're beholding His face. What does the Bible say when the child of God beholds the face of God? Come on now. Good place to shout. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, what makes Jesus Christ glorified? Now, we understand it's His sinless nature. We understand that He carries the glory of God. But what brings Jesus glory in the earth? Raise your right hand. Ain't that something? God has ordained you to bring His Son glory in this earth. You are the light of the world that glorifies. Remember Matthew 5:16, one of our theme verses for this year of being an influencer. Out of the mouth of Jesus, He said that your good works that are done because you're on the altar, the fire of God is burning inside of you. Your good works cause mankind to glorify God. Yeah. Woo! Life ain't boring. I have a destiny. You have a destiny. There is something about this life that is supernatural and spectacular. Amen? Okay. Turn over to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 5, notice, for sake of time, look at verse 10. Now, he goes into great detail about being humble, and that humility is what delivers you from the hand of the enemy. But he says then in verse 10, after going through all of that, he says, "But the God of some grace," hallelujah, "but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." We go through some things, but think about what I saw something the other day. Somebody sent me a meme, and it had a picture of this man. Kind of made me think about myself sometime when I get whining. He was sitting there and he was whining to Jesus, and he was telling him everything that was wrong in his life. And he's sitting there in a leather chair, had looked really comfortable. He was dressed nice, and the steam of hot coffee there, and he was sitting there just telling Jesus everything that was wrong in his life. And then when the meme changes and you see Jesus, he's sitting there beside him, and he's in that body that just come off the cross. Jesus suffered for us. Amen. But he suffered that you and I would have an eternal home and a destiny that is beyond our understanding. Amen. All right. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you" what? Perfect. So, listen, the next time the devil comes against you in a situation and it's a hardship, it's a struggle, it's a battle, instead of listening to what he says about how much you lack or how much you have come up short or how much you're not trusting God, you start praising the Lord and say, "Thank you. This situation is putting me more in the joint of the Lord. It's putting me in the place where I'm being made perfect." Glory. And when you start doing that, I start doing that, all of a sudden, what happens to the devil? He backs up. He goes, "Wait a minute, I'm going to have to change my tactics. I'm going to have to do something different, because if they're going to praise God, if they're going to let God do a mighty work in their life, then I'm going to have to come around a different way." Glory. Come on, that's our God. Amen. "But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect." Notice this. "He shall establish." Now, this is what we were talking about as we opened up the service. Yeah, but if you and I will step into the fire, if we'll step on the altar of the Lord, if we'll be in that place where we stop picking apart things that we don't understand, we stop judging those situations and circumstances, he said he would establish us. In other words, God's got some things. Sote mayando do yonde libriete bilicatonde, mayan sende libriete sete bilicosonde. God has a work for you that you have not seen. He has a gifting that is inside of your life, that this is the time and the season for it to come out. Because as the devil raises his head, I want you to raise my son, the head of your life, in every situation and circumstance for my glory. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got some things for you and I to do. And he wants you to know that he has established you for a good work. Amen? A good work. It's time. It's the season. He said, I want you to see that there's some things that you can do that you haven't done before. There's some prayers that is inside of you that I want to bring out of you by the Holy Ghost. There's some things that as you pray those prayers in faith, a vision will come from the fire of God, and it'll bring the will that God has for you in this season. Amen? It's time. It's time. He said, I want to establish you. Notice what he says. He continues. And he says, I want to strengthen you. I want to strengthen you. Now think about the strength of Jesus Christ. The strength of Jesus Christ was that one. Think about he met all of hell at once. For you and I Because he was walking in the love of God.
Yes.
Amen? And one defeated the very best that the devil had to offer. And now that one is on the throne of your heart, and he abides with you forever.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
So he wants you to come into the realization and to be strengthened by the power of his might in the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3 talks about the prayer that you and I need to pray. And that prayer, it causes us to be strengthened in our inner man with the might, the dunamis working power of Jesus Christ. So, in other words, see, when I'm looking at situations and people and I'm letting my natural understanding judge that, then all of a sudden, that is a weak area in my life. That's a weak link in the plan of God. That's the weak link in the chain of success, of being able to let him pull me through the hard times and the difficult times and move into the good times. And so if that weak link is there, it can break. But if I give it to the Lord, come on, he can strengthen that, right? Now notice what he says. Stay with me just a minute more. He will establish you, he will strengthen you, and he will settle you. In other words, he will cause you and I to realize that we are founded upon that rock. That rock that answers every lie of the enemy with truth. Amen? Look in Ephesians chapter 3. Look at verse 17. This is part of Paul's prayer. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Come on, by faith. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. That established. That settled. That strength is understanding your foundation. You're founded upon Jesus Christ. The one that defeated every plot of the enemy. Amen? And so, I want to be in the place and the position where I allow this to come in and through my life for His glory, and it's there for me. All I have to do is say, Lord, I'm going to see things the way you'd have me to see it. I'm going to step into the fire. I'm going to be concentrated. I'm going to let those things, the impurities, be burnt out, and I'm going to receive more and more of you and what you would have for me. Amen? Now, notice this. He said that ye would grant to you according to the riches of his glory and be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love, that you, verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all of the fullness of God. See, I step on the altar. He burns all of that thing out of my life. And then I'm completely full of Him.
Right.
And then I come to that place where He said that with all saints, no separation, no division, all one in one in Christ Jesus. If there's anything that would separate us from anybody, all we have to do is just come to the Lord and say, Lord, I don't want to be in this ditch anymore. I want to walk in unity. I want to walk in power. And so I'm going to come to that place where I recognize that's the greatest thing with the Lord. When you and I recognize something and we give it to Him, it's as if it never existed. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll close with this thought. You think about this. This is silly and funny, but it'll cause you to think about this message in the days of coming. There's a new couple. They moved into this new subdivision, and they were in a place where there were several houses, and they were in a circle. And in the midst of that circle was a place where everybody brung their laundry, and they would hang their laundry out to dry there. It was a neat thing for people who didn't want to use electric dryers. So anyway, the first morning that they moved in there, this new couple, they got up and they were sitting at the kitchen table. And as they looked out the window at the kitchen table, it showed all these different clotheslines. And they were sitting there, and this one lady, she wrung her clothes out and she hung them up on the line. And the wife looked over at her husband and said, "Man, I wonder what she's doing." Said, "Her clothes, they're not white. They don't look clean." The husband just looked at her and he kept drinking his coffee. Ladies, I'm not picking on you because this could be either way, okay? I'm not picking on anybody. I'm just giving it to you the way it was gave to me. And so this happened for two or three days in a row. You know, she said, "Man, somebody needs to tell her she needs to use bleach on those whites. She needs to use this and that and all these things." And the husband never said a word. And so they got up finally the fourth day. And they sit down there. And this lady, she brung her laundry out. And that woman said, "Well," said, "I guess somebody talked to her and told her, because that laundry, that white is just as white and clear as it can be." And the husband grinned and said, "No, honey, I got up early and I cleaned your window." See, what I'm looking through determines how I see. But see, you are looking through the blood of Jesus, through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you can look through His blood, you can see what God sees. God sees me struggling, and He sees me trying, and He counts it perfect. And then He reaches down His hand to where I'm at, and He picks me up. Come on, that's what you and I can do, and that's what we're called to do. I want to be able to see things like I've never saw before, don't you? I want to be in the place where I'm stronger and where I'm very established in the new things God's wanting to do. And I do it because His strength is flowing in me. Tonight, will you receive a new, fresh anointing for all of these things by simply letting the Spirit of God touch your heart and just to make sure? Come on. I didn't want to preach this. I didn't know what we was going to do. I mean, when I got here, all I had was that phrase. But this is what God wants. Amen? Let's obey God. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, would You touch each one of us? Lord, I'll be the first one to say that I know that there's some things that's hindered in Your flow in and through me. I know that I have judged situations and circumstances, and I've done it in ignorance. Ignorance simply means not to know. I judged it in not knowing the heart, not knowing the situation. And I repent, Father, in the name of Jesus. I want You to cause me to see what I've never saw before. I want You to be able to give unto me what I need, where I can give in abundance, supernatural, to other people, Father. Lord, correct us right now tonight in love. And let us recognize and realize this is all an act of faith. And when we act in faith, You said You were a rewarder of those who diligently sought You by faith. Let the reward come into every person under the sound of My voice. More importantly, under the sound of Your Holy Spirit. Or we ask these things believing for miracles in the name of Jesus. Let it be. Hallelujah. Would you make yourself an altar at your chair? Or if you feel comfortable, come up to the altar at the front. Whatever you feel comfortable in. We wipe the altars down. But I understand if you don't feel comfortable with that, you make you an altar. The altar's in your heart, wherever you're at. But would you seek the Lord right now? Step on that very altar that has the fire of God. See, the fire of God, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt you. It doesn't hurt me. It just burns out the things that hurt us. Come on, I hear that by the Spirit of God. It burns out the things that hurt us. Would you step on that altar tonight and receive like you've never received before? He's here for you. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Oh, you feel that anointing? Oh, there's a flow of anointing. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus.